Sunday, May 21st, 2023, 11:54 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green here. Peace Train from 1971 by Cat Stevens.
Could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one. And I believe it could be someday it's going to come. And out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Now I've been smiling lately, about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder,
light on the peace train. Ooh,
ooh. Come on, the peace train, this peace train, holy roller.
Everyone jump upon the peace train.
Get your bag together, go bring your good friends too, cause it's getting nearer, it soon will be with you. Now come and join the living, it's out of all of you, and it's getting nearer, soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding louder,
louder.
I remember that song when it was first released. I was 14 years old at that time. But that, the entire record album that Cat Stevens produced at that time was unlike anything else we'd heard from any artist that anyone could really remember. But I was so young, I guess I wouldn't have known that, but yet I did know that to some extent, because we'd heard a lot of music growing up on the radio. We heard I mean, we didn't grow up on the radio. We heard music on the radio. When we were growing up, you know, we heard a lot of different artists. I remember Jim Croce also. But Cat Stevens was very different. But, I mean, he wasn't my discovery. You know, it was my older sister who discovered this record. And so sibling rivalry being what it was, you know, I didn't have much. I was not drawn to this music at the time. But, I mean, there are memories associated with this music that stay with me, not just from that time, but from all the time that transpired since then until now. I've heard this song not very often, but whenever I did hear it, there are very strong feelings, and not just memories, but feelings associated with this song. It's a very powerful song. And comparing it with, for example, just to talk about the memory aspect of it, the Jackson Browne song, Running on Empty, that Jackson Browne song that I was talking about just recently, when I said I've listened to it for many years, I had not heard it very often during that time period. That's the thing. So I wasn't aware it was a live recording because I'd only remembered it as sounding like a studio recording. But because of the quality of it, and many people, when we went to concerts, there were many people who didn't know how to produce good audio. You know, they couldn't produce a good sound system, or could not. Many bands and their people who, their organizations, their traveling crew, whatever you want to call them, were not able to really understand or at least effectively achieve a good audio configuration and arrangement for a concert. So we very rarely had good live music audio. So that's why now this is a studio album by Cat Stevens. As I understand it, it has to be, that's a studio album. But Running on Empty was recorded live, very different. And yet the quality of Running on Empty, Running on Empty, I don't know the name of the song, I just know how it sounds. Let's just put it that way. Okay, 9 and 10, part 1, chapter 9, paragraph 10, that is, of Wild Road. There appears to be a tempting parallel between Nimrod and the Monkey King of Chinese mythology, whose weapon was a rod or cudgel, and who wore a crown like Nimrod. See, Nimrod was the first king that we know of to wear a crown. Well, he was the first king, period. And we don't even really know he wore a crown, but there's myth and legend associated with Nimrod that says that he was the first to wear a crown. This is where kingship and crowns had their origin, because there were no kings prior to Nimrod, or very, very shortly before Nimrod, at least there may have been a king or two prior to Nimrod, if he was not the very first king. But if Nimrod is associated with, let's say, the successor of the ruler who built the tower, then of course, you know, it's hard to say whether the very first king had a crown or not. But very early on, there was reputed to have been a crown. And this is associated with Nimrod. So it's fascinating because the Monkey King wore a crown. This attempt at a comparison is a very interesting yet potentially long-winded one, which may await our future consideration. That is, comparing Nimrod and the Monkey King. Although it is also noteworthy here how much the word monkey resembles Menes and conjures in the context of the ancient rod-shaped money of the Greeks, which came much later, another comparison of the word money to the name Menes or word monies. M-O-N-I-E-S. The name Menes is referred to the term men for human beings of both sexes. To this do we direct our focus. Minions of the patriarch, the patriarch being Noah, settled in Armenia or around the area of the Ark of Noah, named, quote, Armenia, end quote, after the word har for mountain, H-A-R or A-R, and men after minions. Mr. Bryant discusses some possible confusion of Aramea with Armenia because of their linguistic similarity, a problem that he eradicates from their different bases, Aramea from Aram and Armenia from Harman, with a hyphen between Har and Men. The latter, prior to the birth of Aram, referring to that mountain where the ark landed on a spur of, quote, Mount Taurus, end quote. Thus, Bryant makes the connection of Menes to the bull, Taurus being the bull. The minions living in this area were doubtless in awe under God's grace as descendants of deluge survivors. The province of Gogark in Armenia is, in its Latin form, Gogarine. Garine is a word for ark, as is Carina. You notice that ark and Carina are similar because the C is could be moved from before the A to after the R, and it could become ark, ark. A name like Green, which is my last name, for example, evidently given for the ark landing, is what this word, it's what it means. It's like the word green, Gogarine, or Garine. Garine is very much like green. It possibly is the precursor of the name green. Well, it definitely is the precursor, but how closely it's associated to it throughout history is a different question. And it has, of course, sentimental value to us Greens, meaning those of us of the family with the last name Green. The Ark landing site itself is in nearby Agri province on Mount Tenderek, ancient Tondrak, a shield volcano. This is the Durupinar site near to Uzengili in Turkey. That was where the Ark landed in Turkey, Noah's Ark, and it's been designated as a national park area in Turkey. It's called Noah's Ark National Park. Our proverb for today, from Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3, little children, it is the foolishness of an earthling man that distorts his way, and so his heart becomes enraged against Jehovah himself. I want to say that I figured out what was wrong with my video camera. It just wasn't enough light. And also, the video part of the camera doesn't work as well as the photo camera in the iPhone works better than the video camera by far. So, but it's a question of light when it comes to, it needs a sufficient amount of light, a large amount of light. And then I can dim it down using the settings, using the touch control on the iPhone itself to adjust the brightness. And you must make, in Exodus 30, Jehovah talking to Moses, an altar as a place for burning incense. Out of acacia wood you will make it, a cubit in length and a cubit in width. It should be 4 square and its height 2 cubits. Its horns extend out of it, and you must overlay it with pure gold, its top surface and its sides round about, and its horns. And you must make a border of gold round about for it. You'll also make for it 2 rings of gold. Down below its border, upon 2 of its sides, you will make them. Upon 2 opposite sides of it, as they must serve as supports for the poles with which to carry it. and you must make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you must put it before the curtain that is near the Ark of the Testimony, before the cover that is over the testimony, where I shall present myself to you. And Aaron must make perfumed incense smoke upon it, morning by morning when he dresses the lamps. He will make it smoke. And when Aaron lights up the lamps between the two evenings, he will make it smoke. Again, in other words, it is an incense constantly before Jehovah during your generations. You must not offer upon it illegitimate incense, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, and you must not pour a drink offering upon it. And Aaron must make atonement upon its horns once a year. With some of the blood of the sin offering of the atonement, he will make atonement for it once a year during your generations. It is most holy to Jehovah. And Jehovah went on to speak to Moses, saying, whenever you take the sum of the sons of Israel as a census of them, then they must each give a ransom for his soul to Jehovah when taking a census of them, that there may come to be no plague upon them when taking a census of them. This is what all those will give who pass over to those numbered: a half shekel by the shekel of the holy place, 20 gerahs equal a shekel. This is Exodus chapter 30, by the way. A half shekel is the contribution to Jehovah. Everyone passing over to those registered from 20 years old and upward will give Jehovah's contribution. The rich should not give more, and the lowly must not give less than the half shekel, in order to give Jehovah's contribution so as to make atonement for your souls. And you must take the silver money of the atonement from the sons of Israel and give it in behalf of the service of the tent of meeting, that it may indeed serve as a memorial before Jehovah for the sons of Israel to make atonement for your souls. And Jehovah spoke further to Moses, saying, you must make a basin of copper and its stand of copper for washing, and you must put it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water into it, and Aaron and his sons must wash their hands and their feet at it. When they go into the tent of meeting, they will wash with water that they may not die, or when they go near the altar to minister in order to make an offering made by fire, smoke, to Jehovah. And they must wash their hands and their feet that they may not die, and it must serve as a regulation to time indefinite for them, for him, and his offspring throughout their generations. And Jehovah continued to speak to Moses, saying, as for you, take to yourself the choicest perfumes, myrrh in congealed drops, 500 units, and sweet cinnamon in half that amount, 250 units, and sweet calamus, 250 units, and cassia, 500 units, by the shekel of the holy place, and olive oil, a hin. Then you must make out of it a holy anointing oil, an ointment, a mixture that is the work of an ointment maker. It is to be a holy anointing oil. And you must anoint with it the tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony and the table and all its utensils and the lampstand and its utensils and the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils and the basin and its stand. And you must sanctify them that they may indeed become most holy. Anyone touching them is to be holy. And you will anoint Aaron and his sons. And you must sanctify them for acting as priests to me. And you will speak to the sons of Israel, saying, this is to continue as a holy anointing oil to me during your generations. It is not to be rubbed in the flesh of mankind, and with its composition you must not make any like it. It is something holy. It is to continue as something holy for you. Anyone who makes an ointment like it and who puts some of it upon a stranger must be cut off from his people. And Jehovah went on to say to Moses, take to yourself perfumes, stacte drops, and onycha, or onycha, and perfumed galbanum and pure frankincense. And there should be the same portion of each. And you must make it into an incense, a spice mixture, the work of an ointment maker, salted, pure, something holy. And you must pound some of it into fine powder and put some of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting where I shall present myself to you. It should be most holy to you people. This is the incense. And the incense that you will make with this composition you must not make for yourselves. For you it is to continue as something holy to Jehovah. Whoever makes any like it to enjoy its smell must be cut off from his people. That was Exodus chapter 30. Yesterday we were talking about how Moses sanctified Aaron and his sons, the priests. And this is about the altar for incense, the perfumed incense, of course, and the ransom for the sons of Israel. And wasn't there an anointing oil? Yes, the anointing oil as well, right, and the incense. The recipes were given here for those items, but the Israelites were not permitted to make anything for themselves that resembled either the holy anointing oil nor the incense. They were something holy, some things holy. The book of Luke, a marvelous book indeed, written by a man who cared about accuracy, as Luke 1 and 1. And one and two. Let's check it out. We're at Luke 21 here. Let's go to Luke 1 for a second here. And Luke 1 and 3. Luke mentions how he was concerned with the accuracy of what he was writing. Very important. Now Jesus, continuing on his course of ministry. Now, as he looked up, he saw the rich dropping their gifts into treasury chests. Then he saw a certain needy widow drop two small coins of very little value there, and he said, "I tell you truthfully, this widow, although poor, dropped in more than they all did, for all these dropped in gifts out of their surplus. But this woman, out of her want, dropped in all the means of living she had." Later, as certain ones were speaking concerning the temple, how it was adorned with fine stones and dedicated things, he said, "As for these things that you are beholding, the days will come in which not a stone upon a stone will be left here and not be thrown down." Then they questioned him, saying, "Teacher, when will these things actually be? And what will be the sign when these things are destined to occur?" He said, "Look out that you are not misled, for many will come on the basis of my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the due time has approached.' Do not go after them. Furthermore, when you hear of wars and disorders, do not be terrified, for these things must occur first, but the end does not occur immediately." Then he went on to say to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes, and in one place after another, pestilences and food shortages, and there will be fearful sights and from heaven great signs. But before all these things, people will lay their hands upon you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, you being hailed before kings and governors for the sake of my name. It will turn out to you for a witness. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to rehearse beforehand how to make your defense, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your opposers together will not be able to resist or dispute. Moreover, you will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be objects of hatred by all people because of my name. And yet not a hair of your heads will by any means perish. By endurance on your part, you will acquire your souls. Furthermore, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by encamped armies, then know that the desolating of her has drawn near. Then let those in Judea begin fleeing to the mountains. and let those in the midst of her withdraw, and let those in the country places not enter into her, because these are days for meeting out justice that all the things written may be fulfilled. Woe to the pregnant women and the ones suckling a baby in those days, for there will be great necessity upon the land and wrath on this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled on by the nations until the appointed times of the nations are fulfilled. Also, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth anguish of nations, not knowing the way out because of the roaring of the sea and its agitation, while men become faint out of fear and expectation of the things coming upon the inhabited earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But as these things start to occur, raise yourselves erect and lift your heads up, because your deliverance is getting near. With that he spoke an illustration to them. Note the fig tree and all the other trees. When they are already in the bud, by observing it, you know for yourselves that now the summer is near. In this way, you also, when you see these things occurring, know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all things occur. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But pay attention to yourselves, that your hearts never become weighed down with overeating and heavy drinking and anxieties of life, and suddenly that day be instantly upon you as a snare, for it will come in upon all those dwelling upon the face of all the earth. Keep awake, then, all the time making supplication that you may succeed in escaping all these things that are destined to occur and in standing before the Son of Man. So by day he would be teaching in the temple, but by night he would go out and lodge on the mountain called the Mount of Olives. And all the people would come early in the day to him in the temple to hear him. So there's a very interesting portion here where he says, this nation, or this generation, I should say, not this nation, this generation, verse 32, will by no means pass away until all things occur. Something which caused, in recent years, since 1914, Jehovah's Witnesses to believe that the generation that saw the things beginning in 1914, the sign of the end of the times that began with World War I, would not pass away before all these things would occur in the antitypical fulfillment of this prophecy, in the sense that what happened to Jerusalem in 70 CE, 40 years after the impalement or crucifixion of Jesus in 30 CE, the much bigger fulfillment of that event that happened to Jerusalem when it was destroyed in 70 CE, that event would come soon after 1914, and that the generation that was living at the time when people did witness this great war in 1914, that generation would not pass away before the new world would be ushered in, and Satan, having already been cast down to the earth, would be cast into the abyss, so that the earth would be able to become a paradise as was originally intended for Adam and Eve before the sin of Adam and Eve. So, which we commonly refer to it as the sin of Adam. Of course, it was a sin of both Adam and Eve together. And the hope is that people will live forever on earth, and there will be a heavenly government administering the ransom of Jesus to heal all the ills on the earth and bring about the possibility of these people on earth living forever, as well as those in heaven who are ruling with Christ, who also live forever, of course. But the idea of everlasting life on earth is the goal for the earth. It's the purpose that was intended by Jehovah originally, according to what we read in the book of Genesis. So this is Luke 21. We've concluded the study of Luke 21. There's still more to do in Luke, and there's quite a bit more to do in the book of Exodus. When we get into the book of Numbers, I think we'll find it a little bit easier reading. But one more thing. I found out the name of the company that makes my watch here. The watch that I call Willie is made by... Well, the movement is made by, I should say, the PT5000, which is the movement in this watch that has been certified as a chronometer, or whatever you want to call an accurate timepiece. And so inexpensive, so inexpensive. So if it ever had to be replaced, the movement could be replaced, and you possibly wouldn't have to replace the whole watch, although it's such an inexpensive watch, you could replace the whole watch. But the PT5000 is made by Hong Kong Precision. That's the name of the company. HK Precision stands for Hong Kong Precision. So it's Chinese, but not mainland China. But it's a very impressive movement. It's so impressive because it's the first Chinese movement ever to be certified as an accurate timepiece by that German organization that does that certification. And it couldn't be done by the Swiss, as I mentioned, because the Swiss organization only certifies the Swiss watch movements. They don't do other countries' movements. So, but I've been investigating more and researching more about my new Cadison, which is coming, and also... Seeing, I've been watching some of the reviews of the Pagani Design Rolex homage, of which the Cadison is, or to which, to which the Cadison is also very similar, but it's just larger, same colors almost, but and same pattern, same. It's the same homage, but it's the homage of a 40 millimeter Rolex instead of a 36 millimeter Rolex. That's what the Cadison is. And there's a Bauhaus watch that uses the same Miyota movement inside it that the Cadison does, which will have a red Sunday instead of all the days of the week being the same color. Sunday will be red, and the Bauhaus movement is also called Iron Annie. Some of the watches made by Bauhaus, at least, are called Iron Annie, and it's... a much different looking dial, but it has the same Miyota movement. It's Japanese, the Miyota movement, whereas the movement in the Pagani that I have here is on the PD1752. That movement was the ST16. I understand it's the 1642, actually. And in my case, whether it was because of the cleanliness or lack thereof in the factory where they assembled the watch, and not the fault of Seagull, who manufactures the movement, the ST-1642, or whether it was Seagull's fault, because Seagull, I've also heard, do not give as much attention to the movements that they sell to third-party manufacturers as they do to their own movements that they put in their watches. It's not clear whether there's some dirt in the movement, and that's why it doesn't run in all places or positions where you orient it, or whether it's some other reason. But, I mean, someday I might take it apart. Once I have enough knowledge, I might be able to disassemble it, and clean it, and put it back together, and maybe it'll work then. But it's working fine as a desk watch, and it keeps pretty good time. It was very good within 1 second for a few days. Really good. And then it's been 3 seconds fast today, I think. So it gained a couple of seconds, I think, in the past day, which is excellent still. It's still an excellent timekeeper if you don't tilt it. If as soon as you tilt it, it stops the ability. It reduces the amplitude of the balance wheel drastically, and then it stops running sometimes. I'm not sure why that is, but now I'm just mentioning this not because I'm trying to suggest a course of action to anyone. What I'm trying to do is educate people as far as how these watches work, some of the things that might cause them not to work wouldn't always have to be a manufacturing defect. It could just be dirt in the movement or something that could be fixed very easily. It could also be a misalignment of the balance in the watch, so that if you just unscrew the screws that hold the balance in place and put the balance back in again and retighten the screws with it positioned correctly, it might run. So things like that. It's a very curious thing that it suggests to me. The fact that it's sensitive based on position, I don't know what that means, because I don't know enough about it, but it's what I'm trying to do is share knowledge and educate people with what I know, so that they can see. I've had the watch taken, I've had it apart, and I've regulated it myself, but I haven't taken the whole movement apart. I just opened up the back of the watch, so I've looked at it, and I tried to shake any dirt out of it that might be in it, but I haven't disassembled the movement at all. So, and I don't really intend to do that, but I might do it someday once I get to where I don't care about the watch anymore, then I can, you know, experiment with it. But I mean, $130, what I think it means, I don't believe in replacing something that's defective from a manufacturer who wasn't able to catch that mistake. That to me says that manufacturer won't be able to replace it either. So I'm not going to be interested in doing that. I just don't believe that a manufacturer should release a product that's defective. And if it is defective, then I believe that's the fault of the manufacturer. And I don't believe in chasing money. That's what it is. There's that scripture about if you chase money, it sprouts wings and flies away like an eagle. Anyway, so I love you very much. Have a wonderful day. I hope you enjoyed the study today. I've got, on my behalf, it's May 21st, 2023, 12:32 hours Eastern Daylight Time. And on my behalf, I've got Gully, beautiful little, this is an ST1902 movement, another ST movement by the Seagull Factory, that one, and the PT5000 movement it's a steel dive watch, actually. The Captain Willard, Willie. So Gully and Willie, for me, are saying bye for now.